Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word this morning. One day in our country, the King James Bible will most likely be outlawed. And Lord, I pray that day is not soon. But you'd help us to hide this word in our hearts. You'd help us to meditate upon it and to think on it and to study it and to read it and to just make it a part of our entire lives. And I pray, dear Lord, that it would be like food for our souls, dear Lord, that we would crave to be in it. Bless this hour. Help us as we open the Word of God to study it. I pray the Holy Spirit would have His free reign and movement. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. We're back in Exodus today in chapter 13. Exodus 13, as we make our way through the book of Exodus, again, we talked about this is not going to be a quick journey. This is going to be a slow journey as we want to understand what is God trying to teach us in this book. And it is a book of the revelation of redemption. This is the redemption of God's people, but it also teaches us about our redemption through this book. So as we've made it now our way to Exodus chapter 13, let's begin in verse number 17. And it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go, the plagues have been completed. Pharaoh has no more excuses. He understands that God is Jehovah God. There's no way that he is even equal to Jehovah. Remember, I believe it was last week we talked about it, and Pharaoh finally allowed Moses to leave with the people and all the command of God, all the children could go, all the men and women could go, all the livestock could go, and Pharaoh even says, "Would you bless me also?" And now as we come to the place where Pharaoh has let them go, past tense, we are leaving the land of Egypt finally. After 430 years, 30 years of living with Joseph as second in command and 400 years as servants, slaves, with taskmasters over them in the land. And it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go that God, not Moses, but God led them. Not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent or have a change of heart or change of mind when they see war and they return to Egypt. But God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea. And the children of Israel went up harnessed. That word harnessed means they were equipped for the journey. They were prepared. They were ready for the journey. God had supplied everything they would need for the immediate journey. They were harnessed up. They went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt. But you notice that phrase it repeats in those two verses is God led. God led them. And you look further down in the chapter 13, verse 21 and 22, God is leading them by a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. God is with them at all times, and they can see the presence of God through the pillar of cloud and through the pillar of fire. So God is there. God is leading them in the path that they should go. And you notice quickly in verse 17 where it said that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. There was really two main roads that they could leave Egypt. One was that went right along the Mediterranean Sea, and it bordered the Mediterranean and the sea, and the other went straight across the Sinai Peninsula. Those were the two routes or the two travel caravan roads that could have been used. God chose to use neither. He took them to a place where there was no road, no route. So as we look at this humanly, from our human minds and our human thinking, it would have been a total shock to the Israelites to turn away from the road that led around the Mediterranean to Israel. It would have been a total surprise for anyone to say, "You're going to go into the wilderness where there is no road? Why not go to one of the two roads that lead from Egypt?" There was no geographical necessity for them to travel through the wilderness. Again, I said geographical. There was no boundary or border geographically that they could not go those other ways. Without God leading these people, and we notice in verse 17 and 18 that God led them. Without God leading these people, it would have seemed sheer madness to attempt to lead such a large group of people, approximately 2 million Israelites, and their livestock through a wilderness that had no visible means of supporting them. There was no grocery stores. There was no wayside inns. There was no road. There was no sheer marked path to go, though billboards to direct what exit to take. It would have been sheer madness on man's part to say, we're going this way. But we notice it was God that led them. God had a plan. If we place ourselves in the Israelites' shoes and think from their standpoint for just a few minutes, we have been in bondage our entire life. We have lived in Egypt, surrounded by the splendors of Egypt our entire lives. We have been told what to do and how to do it and where to go and when to go to bed and how to get up and what you're going to eat and who you are allowed to communicate with and what God you're allowed to talk to. Your entire life has been dictated by the Egyptians. You have heard the stories, though, of the land of Canaan as they've been passed on from generation to generation. Now, in its fourth generation, they're hearing the stories of Canaan. They could walk by. All knew where the bones of Joseph were buried. It was a memorial to Joseph. So when they left, they were to take the bones of Joseph with them. And they knew that Joseph had been in the promised land. So stories would change and radiate about what Joseph, where he had come and how Jacob, his father, had come and his brothers had come and the stories of Abraham. So they could just picture the promised land, but they'd never seen it by sight, but by faith. So in this last year that we've talked about for a few weeks now, in this last year of their lives in Egypt, they've experienced the cruelty of the Egyptians, but they've also witnessed the mercy and power of Jehovah God. Now they have been delivered. And now they are beginning the journey to the promised land. What they have dreamed and prayed for over 400 years. And without a doubt, the children of Israel naturally look forward to a quick entrance into the promised land. They weren't looking towards a 40-year journey. They were looking, saying, we're leaving Egypt, we're going to the promised land. They were not looking towards a year's march just to get to Mount Sinai or a year's timetable at Mount Sinai. They were not looking for another year's journey to go from Sinai to Kadesh Barnea and back, and then all of a sudden 38 more years have to transpire before they can even get to the border of the promised land. That was not in their thinking. Their thinking was a quick journey from Egypt to the promised land. And they knew the Mediterranean route was right here. And that Mediterranean route could take 8 to 10 days and they would be home. 8 to 10 days. Not 40 years. Most traffic leaving Egypt was heading east went the way of the sea. But along the way of the sea was the Egyptian stronghold and fortresses and outposts where the military were stationed. And if they had gone that way, they would have been challenged at each stop. God knew this. But it's as well as they journeyed on the way of the sea, they would have to enter the land of the Philistines. And the Philistines were no friend of the Israelites. And God knew that if they went into the land of the Philistines, there would be warfare. And these people were not ready for warfare. So it says here in verse 17, God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near, 8 to 10 days. They would be home. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent or change their heart or their mind when they see war and they return to Egypt. God knew their hearts. God knew what they would do in those situations. The way of the sea was also called the way to the land of the Philistines, or the way of Horus is what the Egyptians called it. This was the most direct route to the promised land. This was the ancient road that lay all the way along the coast of the Mediterranean Sea. They could go fishing along the route and have food and have good climate and not be worried about the troubles in the wilderness. It was the way when Jacob came down from the land of Canaan to go to Egypt. This was the path he took. But it was also the way that they went up from Egypt with Jacob's body to bury him in Canaan. Just a short travel. They knew this path. They journeyed from Ramesses, where they departed, to Canaan was again only approximately 10 days. It was a road that was easy. It was a road that was safe. It was a road that allowed rapid transportation. But if we looked at it in a spiritual light, with a spiritual application, this way of the sea was a way of sight. We could see what's ahead of us. We could see how we could provide for ourselves. We could see what is needed and how we could go forward. We could see the road. We could see the direction we're going. We could see down the road. But we could also see that this is a way of death for the Israelites, for the challenging of the Egyptian outpost, for the challenges of the Philistines. It could be a way of death. It could be a way of man's strength and not God. So we could apply it to, it's a way of the old nature. Let's take the easy way. Let's take the road that's well-traveled, not least-traveled. This was not the way God directed Moses and the children of Israel to walk. And it's not the way He chooses for us to walk today. We are not to take the easy road. We're not to take the road that all mankind is going. We're to take God's road. God's path, God's way. You know, it's not always the way we would choose. If you look back at your life and you look at how and where God has brought you from and along the journey, would you have chosen every step? I wouldn't have. But I'm better for it, for following God in His way. And that's what God was going to try to teach His children on this journey. So He took them, it says in verse 18, but God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea. There was no road. There was no caravan path. They made the road. This way that God had chosen to lead His people through had no roads, no bridges, limited supplies to supply their needs, no signs to direct their way. They just had God. The pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire, follow me. Often when we picture this wilderness journey, and we have this mental image, if you ever have traveled any in the United States, and you think, oh, I'm going to go through Texas. And as you're plotting your way, and you've never been to Texas, and you're plotting your route, and you have these mental images of places where you're going. And when you get there, it looks nothing like you thought it would. The first time I ever drove across the northern part of Texas, I was shocked that there were mountains and hills and valleys. And I'm like, this isn't the Texas I thought of. Or when we're driving through the plains of North Dakota, you think of just straight, flat land with the sunflower fields and the wheat fields. You get out into the western part of the state or in the northeast part of the state, and you will be shocked of the ravines and the dips and the valleys and the hills. I won't call them mountains, but It was shocking to see those lands because you have a mental image of those places. And when you think of the desert, the wilderness journey, we all have a mental image of that place. We envision a desolate desert land with no vegetation and just the blistering hot desert sun and sand, step after step after step. Yes, there were undoubtedly places like that along the way. But it could not have been that way the entire journey. For what are they traveling with except their livestock? What does livestock eat? Manna? No. They must eat grass. They must eat from a pasture. So somewhere in that wilderness journey, there were stretches of pasture. Sometime in your study, go back and read Psalm 65. It says in verse 12, given a description of a wilderness, it says, the pastures of the wilderness. There had to be grass. There had to be land that the livestock, 2 million people, there's going to be a whole bunch of livestock. For they had to sacrifice those livestock to the Lord once the tabernacle was built. Well, they had to feed them somehow, and they can't feed them out in the sand. So we have to change our thinking. God even supplied the nourishment for the livestock. If we think of the way of the wilderness with a spiritual mind and a spiritual application, this way could be contrasted with the way of the sea, whereas we looked at it as the way of sight, the way of the old nature, the way of flesh, the way of our own strength, the way of the old man. The way of the wilderness is the way of the new nature. For it's by faith that we have to go this way. We can't see down the road because there is no road. We can't see where all of our supply of our needs is coming from. It's by faith of God and trusting in God. We don't know the exact map or route that we're going because God is leading us. It's the way of the new nature. It's the way of life. It's a way of walking by faith and learning to trust God. So as we consider the way that God led them, it's encouraging to learn that God took full responsibility for the redemption of His people. For it says, God led them. He didn't give it to Moses, okay, you just lead them. However you want to get to the Mount Sinai, you just get them there. No, God led them. He took full responsibility for not only the redemption of His people first by blood, remember the blood of the Lamb? But then secondly by His own power through the wilderness journey. Notice again, it says in verse 17, when Pharaoh had let the people go, he didn't have a choice. His country lay in ruins. His heir was dead. The nation was heartbroken, wanting the people to leave. God led them. God led them. God's way is always the best way. But we might not always understand or agree with God. Our response to God should always be, as it says in the Psalms. In Psalm 23... what a great psalm this is. In the third verse of Psalm 23, it says, He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me. God leads. Remember, God led them. He leads us. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. Why? For His name's sake. For His name's sake. And then over in chapter 25, Psalm 25, look at verse 4. This should be not only our mindset, but our prayer here in Psalm 25 for God to lead us. Show me Thy ways, O Lord. Teach me Thy paths. Lead me in Thy truth, and teach me, for Thou art the God of my salvation. He is our Redeemer. So first, He has redeemed us by His blood. Now He's going to redeem us by His power. Thou art the God of my salvation. On Thee do I wait all the day. So those should be our mental thinking about wanting God to teach us His paths and our prayer, but then also our attitude should be found in Proverbs chapter number 3. This is my life verse in Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6. The Lord gave me this early in my Christian life. Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart." Not part of it, but all of your heart. "All thine heart, and lean not." Boy, I always was trying to lean on my own understanding. It says, "Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path." He will. He will direct our path if we do this. So not only our mental mindset on God's directing us, but our prayer, but our attitude should be, "God, lead us." Because if we try to do it, we're going to mess it up. God, lead us. Israel had been delivered from Egypt's bondage and slavery to only enter into God's care. "We're yours, God. Direct us. Lead us." There was no intervening period of uncertainty or waiting. As soon as Pharaoh let them go, God led them. There was no waiting. God was prepared. He was waiting for this moment to take His children through the way of the wilderness. Just as we, when we surrender our lives to the Lord and ask Him to be our personal Savior, God's there. He's always been there, but God's there, ready to lead us. It says in Jeremiah 31:3, "The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee." He's drawn us to Himself. So what was the divine purpose of not choosing for Israel the easy way, the way of the sea? What was the divine purpose? What was God's purpose of not choosing that path? Well, the way of the sea was a shortcut. It was a way of sight. It was a means of achieving a goal with little to no effort. All we got to do is walk down this road and we'll be home. The shortest and quickest way is not always the best way. And it's not always God's way. Every child of God must learn that there is no success without sacrifice. Anything that you achieve for the Lord, it costs you something. There's no reward without labor. There must be obedience before blessings are bestowed. If you don't obey the Lord, you're not going to receive God's blessings like you could. You must obey the Lord. If the children of Israel said, "God, I don't want to go into the wilderness. I want to go the easy road," they would not have survived because they were disobeying God. They would not have ended up in the promised land. They would either have been killed by the Egyptians at their outpost, they would have been killed by the Philistines, or they would have just returned back to Egypt and said, "Not for us. We'll stay here." What was God's purpose for choosing the wilderness route, though? Why would God choose such a hard route? Well, prior to Egypt, the Israelites were a nomadic people. They were responsible for taking care of their families and their livestock. They were not a nation. They were just groups of families. Remember, there was only 70 that went into Egypt. And now they're leaving with 2 million plus. They have changed from just nomadic people, family groups, to a whole nation. And God says in several places in this passages of Scripture in chapters 11 and 12 and 13 that they were not ready yet to face the Amorites or the Hivites or all the tribes that lived in Canaan. He had to teach them. The children of Israel were not soldiers. They have been slaves before this. They were not disciplined in the art of warfare. They were ill prepared to face a formidable enemy like the Philistines. In God's loving forethought, though, He chose the long way for His people to teach them and to instruct them further. Look with me in Exodus 19. Great passage to underline in your Bible if you're accustomed to doing that. Exodus 19 and verse 4. The children of Israel have made it to Mount Sinai. Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians. He's talking about what happened at the Red Sea. And how I bare you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. They're just really beginning the wilderness journey when they get to Mount Sinai. They spend a year at Mount Sinai. They're just really starting the journey. And God says, look back at where I've brought you from. Look what's happened to your enemies. I've carried you on eagle's wings to myself. I've brought you to myself. Throughout this journey, He's going to draw the children of Israel to Him as they walk closer with God. Their faith is going to grow. And they will become a people ready to battle for their homeland. Why did God lead them a long way? Well, God knew the schemes and the sanity of Pharaoh. He knew he would change his heart and come after them. Remember, Moses was only asking for the children of Israel to go 3 days' journey into the wilderness and sacrifice to the Lord. And Pharaoh, as he's letting the time go by, he's like, what have we done? We've allowed our workforce to leave. Who's going to build our cities? Who's going to make the bricks? Who's going to be our servants? We have allowed 2 million people to leave us. And he ramps up his army and chases after him. God knew Pharaoh was going to change his heart. Why did God lead them the long way? God knew the strength of the Philistines, and the children of Israel were not able to stand against them. Now, God was able to stand against them. That was not the problem. For it said again in verse 17 of Exodus 13, it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent or change their mind when they see war. When they see it with their sight. When they see war. Doesn't say when they see themselves fighting. God would have fought for them if that's the way God wanted them to go. But when they see war, and return to Egypt. He knew the strength of the Philistines and it would weaken the faith of the Israelites and that they would return to Egypt. Why did God lead them the long way? Because God knew the struggle of His people. Flesh is weak. He needed to teach them to trust Him. Think of all the miracles through the wilderness journey. Think of all the troubles through the wilderness journey. God, each time, is going to increase their faith. So when they come to the border of the Jordan River, they're ready. They're prepared to obey God and walk around the city to defeat it. They couldn't have done that when they left Egypt instantly. You want us to walk around this city, this fortified walled city, with soldiers inside of it, one time, quietly, for 6 days. And then on the seventh day, you want us to walk around it 7 times, and on the seventh time, we are to shout for joy because you've given us a city. Has God lost His mind? But if you look at the miracles and the journeys and the troubles that they had to learn from each path along the route of the wilderness journey, God was building their faith. So when God said, take this city, by walking around it, they said, yes, Lord, let's go. And when there was sin in the camp, when they went to fight Ai, And they got defeated and people died and they came back and they said, God, what did we do? That would have never happened when they first left Egypt. They had to realize God was Jehovah. He was holy and righteous. And God would bestow blessings when there was obedience. Without obedience, there is no blessing. So they had to learn these lessons. They had to go the long route with no road, no bridges, no signs, no directions, but following the pillar of fire and the pillar of cloud. God led them. God's leading us in the wilderness. There was a quick route to heaven right after we got saved. But God said, no, I'm going to leave you there. And I want you to travel through the wilderness learning who I am and learning to live for me and learning to win others to myself, telling others about me so that when you dig at home, you'll be so excited to be here and know what I brought you through. This is a tough journey. There's no road signs to tell us exactly how to do this except through this book. This is our roadmap. And who is this book but the Lord Jesus Christ, where He says, I'm the living Word. So who is leading us through this journey? God. Are you letting God lead you through this life? Heavenly Father, we love You. There's so much we could talk about here. So many applications. But Lord, I believe this interpretation is right, where You were showing us that we can learn from these children of Israel and the struggles they went through. Help us, Lord, to trust You, to lean on You, and to have faith that You are directing our steps. We might not always agree with the path, but if it's Your path, it's the right way. It's the best way. And help us just to surrender to it. Bless the next hour. Be with our pastor. Be with the people that will be coming in. Speak to hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.